going to begin reading verse 13. And just for your information, the subject here that we're talking about bleeds into chapter 4. So when we get to chapter 4 in 2 weeks, it's going to be a continuation of the argument here from chapter 3. But we're going to look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good lifestyle. Conversation means a lifestyle. His works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, a kind of evil zeal, and strife, or an unhealthy ambition in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You could summarize this section of James with this question. What's in your bucket? When we, our mission team went to Vermont a number of years ago, we were helping a pastor of a small church there, and I don't know if you've ever been to Vermont, Bernie Sanders country. It's cold in the winter, which is, I don't know, 11 months of the year. And then you have that one summer month that's supposed to be cool and wonderful, except the week that College Park goes on a mission trip there. It's in the mid to upper 80s, and the air conditioning isn't working in the hotel we're staying in. And so it was just a great trip. It was wonderful on so many levels, except the weather. But we got there, and the pastor really wanted us to have a total Vermont experience. So he marched us off one afternoon to Ben and Jerry's, and we walked through Ben and Jerry's and had ice cream at the end. He took us to the Vermont Teddy Bear Factory, which is only memorable to me because at the beginning of the tour, they give all the little children teddy bears, and at the end of the tour, they snatch them away from the children and say, these are for sale. In the shop as you leave our factory, and all the children are crying and saying, "Mommy, I want a teddy bear." But we had all these experiences, and of course, in Vermont, you get maple syrup. And I'll never forget this pastor, who, by the way, he now lives in southern Alabama. He got so sick of the cold, he moved as far south as he could. He's right on the Gulf of Mexico. He told me that he had this idea. Because he had a maple tree in his yard, that he was going to tap that maple tree and he was going to make his own maple syrup. But he made a mistake. He forgot which tree was a maple tree. And he ended up tapping a willow, an oak, something else, whatever else was in his yard. He tapped, and so he got some kind of sap from that tree, but it wasn't maple syrup sap. It was something else. And really, he had a bucket full of worthless juice, kind of this ugly, horrible juice. Now, I want you to stop for a second and picture in your mind in front of you two trees. And on one tree, you have the word God's wisdom. And on the other tree, you have man's wisdom. Whichever tree you tap is going to determine what you have in your bucket. And if you tap the wrong tree, you're going to get all the wrong sap. And this really leads me to my points this evening, because I'm talking about two wisdoms, two trees. And why one is wisdom and the other is not. Understand, number one, worldly wisdom leads to a bucket full of conflict. Man's wisdom is inherently selfish. Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his lifestyle good works and meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, if you're part of another tree, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, don't say it's wisdom when it's not wisdom. You see, it is possible to identify true wisdom. And the diagnostic question, which wisdom do you have, or what is in your bucket, is really determined by really what understanding what wisdom is. There is a wisdom connected to real understanding. And there's a worldly wisdom that's connected to things that are not good. And this means it's possible to discern what is wisdom and to have it, to actually possess godly wisdom. And godly wisdom, as you see here in the text, it's obvious, is different from worldly wisdom. Godly wisdom is demonstrated by moral goodness. And there's a sense in which James connects the understanding, at least in God's sense, and human behavior. So the more I understand God and follow after God, the better my lifestyle is going to be. So there's a sense of which moral goodness is attached to this, but it's always accompanied by humility. This is the pursuit of that which is lower, which is naturally at odds with the way we think. We think that pursuing the greater is better. Doing more, being more is better. I mean, we almost in our culture promote those who promote themselves. It goes without saying. One of the two major presidential candidates is basically an actor and a genius at marketing, right? I mean, that's really true. And I don't even mean that as an insult. I'm saying that's true. And what we actually find is that this is not how God thinks. God loves humility. I say this to people all the time. You know, humility is our best friend. It's just really hard for people to be upset with people who are humble. The more humble you are, the less upset people can be. You're going to mess up in life, but when you're humble, well, God just loves it. Jesus said, take the lower seat. You go to a feast, take the lower seat. If somebody invites you, come up toward the front of the table. Then get up and go. But don't plant yourself at the front of the table and then find out that, oh, you're supposed to be in the back. I have this reoccurring thought in my head. I'll never forget this. Probably until my brain stops working. I was standing in a church, a pastor there I really liked, and I wanted him to like me. I'm a young man in the ministry. And he walked in, and where our young adults was, where they were having a fellowship with the senior saints of the church. And we were young adults, so Becky and I were here. And the pastor kind of went like this, like that, and I thought he was waving at me. So I was really excited until I realized it was the old guy standing by my room. And then it's, find a place for your hand that he's looking, it's so embarrassing. No, it's best to take the lower seat. Jesus said of himself, I am meek and lowly to heart. James has already pronounced a blessing on the brother of low degree, going back to chapter 1, verse 9. So good behavior is augmented. It's made greater by a right view of oneself. This is evidence of God's Spirit working in the life. This is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23. And actually, here in this passage, what we have here is called, or I would call it, the fruit of wisdom. And it's very similar to the fruit of the Spirit. And you find here, in this view, right view of self, it's evidence of God's working, Spirit working in the life. It's necessary to maintain unity, Ephesians 4, verse 2. It's what we are to put on after the new man comes alive in Christ, Colossians 3, verse 12. Or as one early saint, Ignatius, wrote to another brother in Christ, Polycarp. And you probably heard those names. First century, here's what he said. If you love good disciples, it is no credit to you. It's easy to love good people, right? Bring to subjection by your humility the more troublesome. That's a great admonition. See, godly wisdom is moral goodness accompanied by humility. But you know, worldly wisdom, here are the two qualities James highlights: jealousy and ambition. He says, here is a fruit of the sinful flesh. It actually is one of the fruits of the flesh in Galatians 5:20. It's the idea here of being envious of others. Such thoughts and emotions, I'm going to tell you, they are deadly. They hurt relationships. They cause people to have bad church experiences. When that me-first attitude comes out and rears its ugly head, and that kind of hyper-competitiveness is really negative. It's really hurtful. And James says that kind of jealousy is worldly wisdom. He says ambition is worldly wisdom. That's factionalism. That's the idea that my group is better. So jealousy is me first, but factionalism, that ambition, is my group, what I'm doing is better. It's that kind of thinking. And in texts outside the New Testament, this word is used to talk about those awful, greedy politicians that were in the Greek world and the Roman world. He says these things together is why we should not lie and boast against the truth. Because when you have jealousy, that envy, that green-eyed monster, when you have jealousy and envy, and when you have a kind of hyper-competitive ambition, then you are not expressing God's wisdom, you are expressing worldly wisdom. And yet there are so many people who, both in their jealousy and in their ambition, they look at that and say, you know what, I'm a wise man, or I'm a wise woman. And the reason why this is such a problem, because, friends, selfishness is the root of conflict. We're going to see that even more in the next passage, but notice here, verse 15, this wisdom, this kind of ungodly wisdom, it descends not from above, it's not from heaven, but it's earthly and sensual and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Personal selfishness is not from God. It doesn't come from heaven. It's more along the lines of being from Satan, actually. It's earthly in its origin. It's from the earth. It's from down here. It's out of touch with God and may even be demonic. And it produces in us, in our bucket, go back to your bucket, it puts in our bucket jealousy and ambition, not unity, but disunity, causing disorder and everything that's bad. Here's the problem. You go up and tap the tree of worldly wisdom in your bucket, you get a lot of conflict, you get a lot of problems, you get disunity. That's what you get. And so the diagnostic question is, which wisdom do you have? Again, look down in your bucket. You get into a situation. Has it resulted in conflict? Is there disorder? Are there bad things present? If the diagnostic question reveals the situation of one's conflict is that we are actually desiring something that we shouldn't desire, then we can actually dig deeper and ask, is there goodness and humility here? Is there personal jealousy here? Is there personal ambition here? So I see disorder. Now I'm asking the question, where is that disorder arising out of? From what is it coming? And we know that goodness and humility never produces conflict. We know that. You don't get conflict from goodness and humility. So somewhere, someone is jealous. Somewhere, someone has an agenda. This is a lesson I learned early in my ministry. When you see smoke in the air, there's always a fire on the ground. You can't say, oh, look at all the smoke. There's no fire. And I've actually, in counseling people, going back to when I was in my 20s, I've said, now, look, there's all of these problems here. You know, I didn't say it this way back then, but we're looking in your bucket. Look at all the problems we see. I don't have any problems in my life. Look at the bucket, okay? Problems. You came in, we're talking about problems. Oh, yeah, the problem is, but Pastor, I'm doing the right thing. I'm everything the Bible says. I'm following after the Lord. I'm glad you're saying that, but let's look in your book. You can't get along with the people around you. You're having trouble at work. You're always the guy who's looking for a new job because no boss is good enough for you. What's going on in your life? And then you find out later that there was all of those things we just described. There was just personal ambition and selfishness and all the yuck of life, of worldly wisdom. Now, worldly wisdom leads to a life of comfort. But God's wisdom leads to a life of peace. Look what he says here, verse 17. The wisdom that is from above. So now we have our two wisdoms, right? The wisdom from the earth, the wisdom from above, is first, and we have now seven adjectives. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. And then at this point, I started thinking of a donut because of the word full or filled up. It's a wisdom donut filled with mercy and good fruits. Okay, so that's the filling of this donut. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. So God's wisdom is always agreeable. That's how I would label this. God's wisdom is always agreeable. Moral goodness accompanied by humility is heaven sent. You get a person who's both morally good and humble, and that's a person who's walking in God's wisdom. He's drinking every day on his spiritual pancakes. He's slathering on the maple syrup of God's wisdom, right? He's tapping the right tree, and he's loving it. It's a quality that only comes from God. You never get this from me. It's the kind of thing that becomes the Spirit's operating in one's life. That's why I say you have the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, but this is the fruit of wisdom. Here are the qualities of a wise man. Innocence, that is, a purity that's not connected to the world in any sense. A peacefulness, that is, this a person who is peace-loving and unity-protecting. He just loves peace. And kindness, quality of always being considerate of other people. And obedience, and that is compliance, a willing compliance with biblical authorities, first with God's word, to the church, to those who God has placed above you in leadership. And then a harvest of mercy. Not a little bit of mercy. He's really saying here a whole fruit harvest of mercies. And that is an incredible quality that comes with wisdom. To be able actually to have mercy on people who they just don't deserve. Mercy is never given to people who deserve it. It's always given to people who don't. Impartiality. Having a non-judgmental spirit. Can I just tell you something, friends? In churches like ours, this is sometimes difficult. The higher your own personal standards are, and those are all good, your convictions, the higher they are, the closer you want to be to God. And so you set up those convictions in your life. Be careful that you don't try to cross-apply those to the people around you. Because then all of a sudden you find that you're not really being wise. And then, of course, a genuineness. A lack of hypocrisy. I'll never forget during COVID. I wanted to buy a white mask and write the Greek word hypocritus across it. Do you know what the word hypocrite means in Greek? It means to wear a mask. So I thought the irony there. Somebody would see the irony and enjoy that. I didn't do it. I should have done it. I'm just too lazy to really play these things all the way through. But it's just a genuineness. To be real. Not a fake. Not a fraud. You see, real wisdom that comes from above, there's that sense of innocence and peacefulness and kindness and compliance, but there's also a sense in which you're just a real person. It's not made up, put on. That's gross. That's ugly. When you see people who are play acting out their Christian life, they walk in the church and they're just totally different than they are at home. And by the way, your spouse knows that you're different and your children know that you're different. You're not fooling them. You can fool me, I guess. You can fool other people, but you're not fooling them. They know. And you see, God's wisdom here, when you have these qualities, oh, I just labeled it agreeableness. Because agreeableness is the secret to ending conflict. Look at verse 18. And the fruit, the result of peace that is planted is righteousness. Those who have this kind of spirit operate in an atmosphere of peace. That's where they operate. So again, this is the bucket. In your bucket, if you're tapped into God's wisdom, you don't look in your bucket and go conflict. You look in your bucket and go peace, righteousness, goodness, godliness, all of these things. Peacemakers are those who are always sowing the seeds of peace into the lives of others. Their godly wisdom prevents them from being at odds with people for a long time or unnecessarily. It's not important that I'm always right. It's important that we remain at peace. There are some things that I have to say, okay, we can't leave it alone. We have to deal with these things. There are some things just that important. But the majority of what people divide over in this world isn't that big of a deal. I really am shocked at how many Christians today are divided over politics, over sports, over cars. I got out of the car. I've been at the church where I was youth pastor for about 40 seconds. When somebody said, are you a Chevy man or a Ford man? I don't know how to answer that question. I didn't know there was one of those things. We were driving a car that didn't even look anything like that. I don't know. How do you want me to answer? What would make you the most happy right now? I don't care. Who cares? Why do you care? Churches that divide over the color of things. The color. Well, I don't like the way that color is. I don't like the color of that. I don't like the curve on the logo. Or stupid things. That's all man's wisdom. That's all it is. There's not a peacefulness there. There's not an impartiality there. There's not mercy there. There's no kindness there. We have people that come to our church from time to time who have incredible needs. We have a lady coming right now who has incredible needs. And I am so glad that some of you just bent over backwards to reach out to her. That is wonderful. That's godly wisdom. Because I've been in places, I've been in churches that look at people like that as people to be shunned. I don't want them around my kids. I don't want them around my family. If you have that attitude, they shouldn't be around you because you're not very godly. And that's the world, unfortunately, we sometimes live in. There's a lack of agreeableness. There's a lack of righteousness. And these people, you see, they're putting into the lives of others these peace seeds. It's a little seed of peace, and I'm just going to sow it right here. And here's another little seed of peace, and I'm going to sow it right here. And it may take years of cultivation, but a harvest of righteousness is going to come out of that seed I planted in that heart. This is, as one commentator wrote, in the truest sense, wisdom. This is real wisdom. To be able to see that wisdom sown always produces more wisdom grown. Wisdom always produces more righteousness in the life. And thus the wise man ends conflict because he's so agreeable. Someday the Prince of Peace will come, and God's wisdom will be on the earth. And for a time, there won't be war anymore. It'll be gone. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, the prophet said. Right? It'll be take the instruments of war and use it for economy to get more food, to feed more people. Because when Jesus comes, the greatest and wisest who's ever walked this earth, when Jesus comes, there will be real wisdom in his leading and his leadership. So let me ask you the question, what's in your bucket? Just look down, what's in my bucket? Is it conflict? Is it envy? Is it struggle? Is it desire to be seen? Years ago, I made a mistake. I was standing in a room of people that I wanted to thank. And I made the mistake of starting to thank them off the top of my head. That's a big mistake. You should write it out. Because in thanking people, I didn't thank one person. And all of a sudden, I had major conflict. I mean, it was an explosion of conflict. That person ended up crying in the bathroom. My wife runs in after her, trying to calm her down. It's really not the end of the world that your name wasn't mentioned. It's, you know, we know that you're great. You're wonderful. You're just the best. That's just so wrong. I have learned over the last few years, you know what the best thing to do is? Just, it's okay to be bored. That's probably better for me. You know, it's okay to be the one who people kind of step on sometimes. I know it doesn't happen all the time, but once in a while it can hurt. Feelings can get out of joint, but it's okay. It's all right. Because I'd rather have peace. I'd rather have unity. I'd rather enjoy the righteousness that comes. I'm looking at my bucket. I say, I don't want this stuff in my life. I want the other things. So if the worldly wisdom is producing the wrong kind of syrup, it's not going to taste very good on your spiritual drinking. Get rid of it. Throw it out. Just take the bucket, turn it over, throw it out. And then tap into God's wisdom and just let it fill you up with the sweetness and the blessedness that comes when you are living life after Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time. Together,